Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm is raging. They wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. To comprehend the joy that's within, something that they need to know.
I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from the desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die, delivered from the dangers of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin, set free, forgiven. I've been born again. Oh yes, I have been rescued. I used to feel troubled. My sorrows were doubled as the burdens of life held me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed. Then His tender mercy I found. Though life is rough, I'm not giving up. Even when I am tested and tried, I'll not waste time doubting. I'll go on to shouting. I've crossed to the winning side. I have been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from the desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die, delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin, set free, forgiven. I've been born again. Oh yes, I have been rescued, set free, forgiven. I've been born again. I have been rescued.
Amen, amen. Good special tonight. Thank you, Brother Larry. The one of you, that's a blessing. Praise Jesus. Amen. I got one. I'll take it. That's all right. It's just me and you, Brother Larry. I was having a good time this morning. It's all good. It's okay. It's all right. It's a Sunday night, folks. It's okay. It's all right. Pastor's not here. I know it's out of the norm, out of the usual. It just seems like when that happens, we go into this mode of I don't know what, but just seems like it's a mode when pastor's not here. And it's okay. It's all right. I mean, I miss him as well, but he's not here, all right, okay? That's just how it has to happen. I mean, sometimes he's gone from us, and one of us have to come and fill the pulpit tonight. It's just what, right? You just feel you get on an island. Come on, Brother Larry. Give me that little hallelujah this evening. I'll take it. It's all right. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. A little bit longer of an intro tonight. It's all right. You go out to California and it's an hour and 10 minutes of singing. So you just might as well buckle up because you ain't getting into preaching for the first hour or more. And it is a blessing to have that many people, but we just ain't got that. This is not there for us, folks. It's, you know, get one. What happens when you have, they were showing us their special music. They have two on Sunday morning and four on Sunday night and then two on Wednesday night. And there's a rotation. I said, man, I mean, to have that many options. I mean, Brother Luke and Brother Andrew, you know, those are dealing with special music. No, that's a man. What a blessing to have that many specials go. So, Matthew chapter 5, if you found that place in Matthew chapter 5, if you're able to stand, if you please do so this evening for the reading of God's word. If you're not able, understood. But Please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. And for time's sake, I'm just going to cut short a little bit of the reading tonight. I'll pick it up in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 12. And it says this, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men." Here's what I get to tonight, these three verses. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I always appreciate the opportunity to preach behind the sacred desk of Pastor Angel, and I do thank him very much for entrusting us today in the house of God. And I would ask you then if we could go to the Lord in prayer, and let's pray for the service tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time to come to meet on a Sunday night. There's a lot of folks that aren't meeting on a Sunday night. They'd sure like to. And I'm thankful for the house of God. I pray that you'd help us this evening, Lord, something that's been on my heart. I pray that it be clear and plain and present tonight. And the folks here at Faith Baptist Church, I pray that, Lord, you just do a work. I know you've done on me. I pray for our pastor again. Bless him. I pray for the loss of loved ones tonight that are grieving. God, thank you for the one that was saved this morning. Lord, I pray you meet with us in a special way. Your Holy Spirit power, get me out of the way to put you in the limelight, you in the way tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message tonight is this. I kind of waited for it. It's Lord. It's more of a prayer than it is a title. But Lord, lengthen my light. Lord, lengthen my light. That's the thought. That's the prayer tonight. I kind of came across this, if you've preached at all, if you have come across the preaching message and where pastors get those messages, a seed thought, something that maybe comes from another message from somebody else. And that's where this thought came from, was from Brother Ross. He was talking about how to take wood and throw it on top of the fire and to continue to let that fire burn in our lives. And I thought about it, and I was pondering that message, and I was reading my Bible, and I came across this passage of Scripture as well, and just thought about, boy, how light does that. It can be lengthened. Our light can be lengthened. Our light that we have as Christians can be lengthened. Tonight, I imagine that for the most part, maybe a little child, but for most of us in here, we're saved Christians. We're a child of God. We all have the Holy Spirit living within us. The light of Christ lives inside me. Boy, I'm thankful for the day that I got saved. Jesus moved in, and that light began to shine. It was but a small light at the beginning, just a newborn babe. But that light, I hope, I pray, has begun to further its length. And I want to show us tonight a few of those things. Before I get to that, I just want to say in this passage of Scripture, we know that reading Christ beginneth the Sermon on the Mount. That's what the passage of Scripture is talking about. He goes through there in verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then it goes through things that he said were blessed. He goes through verse by verse and talks about the things that were blessed. I think just about one other passage of Scripture from verse number 3, if you continue all the way over to Matthew chapter, I believe it is 7, verse number 27, Christ continues to speak. There's really one other place in the passage of Scripture over in Matthew chapter 24, and he's talking about his second coming, but Jesus is speaking continually. It's nonstop. It's not a breakup. It doesn't say anything in between about a parable that was being spoke when many other passages of Scripture talk about this. So Christ was speaking for a length of time. And whenever Christ was speaking during those times, many of the time, yes, it was to the people of God that wanted to hear it, but oftentimes it was to those Pharisees that were hanging around. He wanted them to hear what was about to be said because they were always trying to trip him up. They're trying to find a fault in him. Remember, even to his crucifixion, they could find no fault in him. There wasn't anything there for a fault to be found. He was blameless. spotless Lamb of God. What a great thing about our Lord. But he was speaking and he was telling them about their light. Ye are the light of the world. Hey, listen, Christian, you're the light of this dark world. Amen. That's what the devil is. He's darkness. He is pictured as darkness throughout the scriptures. We had the opportunity, before I get into the message, we had an opportunity to visit the Redwoods. One of the incredible things, it was actually a sunshine day a little bit that afternoon through some clouds, but we left the San Jose area, and as we began to drive, we hit a road, and when we hit that road, the GPS told us that we had 7.6 miles to go, and we were on a time crunch. We really were, and wanted to get back because we would all be fired if we didn't make it back in time for a preacher to get to the church service. We knew that, so maybe, maybe not. Laws were broken on the way back. I will plead the fifth on that one. But when we were driving 7.6 miles, it said to get to the Redwood Forest, but 34 minutes. And we said in our vehicle, 34 minutes for 7.6 miles? Are you kidding me? Yeah, but the roads were all over the place. They were up and down and over. And we had a good time. I had a good time driving through those to get there. But we were hitting the hills. If you've ever been to that area, you know what I'm talking about. And these hills as we climb the mountain. And it is a virtual, as far as it goes from business of city life, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're right into the country, if you will. It cuts right off. And the same type of thing when it was us winding through these hills. Where's the Redwoods? Where are they at? We can't see much. And then all of a sudden it began to get dark. And the darkness came. We must be getting to something close. And we hit the entrance to that preserve, that forest preserve, and it was dark. The headlights flipped on. The lights of the headlights were coming. And it's dark. And these trees, I mean, ginormous trees. What was fascinating about those trees was about 50, 60 feet up, there was no shoots of limbs off the tree. You had to go to the mature ones about 50, 60 feet up. It was fascinating for me to see. And one of the reasons why is because of light. It had to reach that light. Nothing was able to survive that low to the ground. It had to climb up, if you will, because those trees are so tall. But you get to the place where there's no light, it brings no hope. No hope. You drive further, and we got further in there, and man, it's almost depressing because there's very little to no light going on. Can I say this world is that? It's hopeless. It doesn't have anything to offer, Christian. Has nothing for us. Ye are the light of the world. That's us. That's you and me tonight. We're the light of this world. Let me tell you a little bit about light, if I could, to begin as well. Not too long ago, we changed all of our lights here in this building. Brother Dave and others will remember, we changed our lights over to LED lights. And it's really fascinating to find out some of those things about an LED light, or what had happened from an incandescent light, and you had, you know, worked your way through, as we have over the history of light bulbs. It's kind of impressive to know what we can do now compared to what it was back then and years ago, or grabbing a candle and starting that light to begin a candle. Some of you older folks, you maybe it was back in your days, but my kids still ask us if there were stoplights back when we were kids. So I mean, yeah, that'll humble you real quick. Interesting about a LED light, a lamp, if you will, require an electronic LED circuit to operate from mains power lines. The driver circuit may require special features to be compatible with lamp dimmers intended for use on incandescent lamps. Generally, the current waveform contains some amount of distortion depending on the luminaries or the technology that's there. The LED lamp market is projected, this is incredible to me, to grow from, in the U.S., $75.8 billion in 2020 and increasing to, in the U.S., $160 billion by 2026. That's a lot. LEDs come to form brightness immediately with no warm-up delay. There's no need to wait around like we used to in the gymnasium, flip the lights on and we got to wait a little while before those lights come on. Frequently switching on and off does not reduce life expectancy as with fluorescent lighting. Light output decreases gradually over the lifetime of the LED. I just want to point out tonight that those lights, LEDs, or whatever ones you want to talk about, they require a source. They require a source. That source is Jesus Christ. For us in our lives, we need Jesus Christ. And you know, if we're asking tonight, Lord, lengthen my light, number one, we need to latch on to the source of the greatest light. We've got to latch on to it. And I'm going somewhere tonight, but if you would, turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. John chapter 8, verse 12, it says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He says, I'm the light of the world. He's the source, folks. He is the source of all light. LED or anything else, it needs a source. It needs something to come from. Jesus has always been, always will, and forever will be the source of all light. Muhammad can't create it. Buddha died with it. But Jesus has it. He is the source of all our light. He needs to be my light. He needs to be your light. Into this community of Bourbonnais, Kankakee, Manti, wherever you go, He's the source of all light. That's Jesus. We have to latch a hold of it. Grab onto it. Even as I said earlier, the Pharisees who wanted really nothing to do with Jesus other than trying to find some fault in Him. Man, this passage of Scripture, he nails them. He hits them hard. I won't go through the whole story. We find here this woman, adulterous woman, and we find that Jesus comes and he talks to this woman where nobody else really would. And he tells the Pharisees, he that is without sin, verse number 7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Hey, you want to cast doubt? Are you sinless? I don't think so. I don't think so. He puts them in their place. He puts them right where he speaks and says again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He said, just come unto the light. Come closer to the source of light. I've got this. Hey, what do you need tonight? What is it that you need that you got to just latch on to the source? You got to hold on to the source. You got to grab a hold of Jesus tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going on in your life. John chapter 9, another passage of Scripture, it says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He says, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in it, I'm there for it. Our King James 1611 Bible, as we hold in our hand, is the very source of His light. It's the light that lights our path. We've been talking about our Bible. On Sunday nights, pastor's been talking about it's a source of light. It's a lamp for my feet, and it's a light for my path. He's there to guide us, folks. We got to get into the light. We got to get closer to the light. We got to latch on to the light. You got to get up every morning. You got to grab a hold. Latch on to the light. Got to grab a hold of that Bible. Latch on and hold on. Get you something out of it on Monday morning. That'll last for Monday morning. But you got to go back on Tuesday morning. You got to latch back on Tuesday. Because that's just enough for Tuesday. You got to come back on Wednesday. Because it ain't enough just to make it for a couple of days. You got to get to Wednesday. You got to latch on to the source of light. Wednesday's, oh, it's over. We had a good service on Wednesday night, but Thursday comes. We got to grab a hold of that light again. We got to grab a hold again. It's right there. Oh, it's on the shelf Monday and Tuesday. Well, I'll get around to it Wednesday. Oh, no. That source of light can't wait till Friday. That's too long. You're going to forget about it is what's going to happen. You're going to be, I really need to grab a hold of it. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then finally Friday, we get to it. You know what happens when you leave the light? The source diminishes. It's not as bright as what it once was. It means our light in us isn't as bright as it once was. Our light, the source of our light, comes from the greatest light. And that's in Jesus. As I said, we all need it. We need it every single day. There may be trials that you're facing. And on those days of the week where your unsaved boss is getting ready to tell you something you know is coming on Monday, you're going to have to go to the source of light and just latch on. You're going to have to grab a hold of it. And on Tuesday when the kids are sick and you got some big project that's at work and you're the one that's supposed to give it, you're the one that's supposed to be there, and what am I going to do? You better latch on to the light. You better grab a hold of it. You better get there. Wednesday, the traffic's a mess. You have no idea how you're going to make it on time. You're already underneath the crunch. What am I going to do? You better grab a hold of that light. Grab and latch onto it. Don't let go. The source of light, we need the source of the greatest light. That's Jesus. We need that light. Friend, every day, we need to go back to the source. We won't lengthen our light without grabbing a hold of the greatest light, which is Jesus. What else do I see? Well, in this passage of Scripture, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, what else do I see about, Lord, lengthen my light? Lord, lengthen my light. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It can't be hid there. Boy, it pictures a city. A city's most of the time lit up. It's got light on it or around it. There might be a tower that has light. As we flew in a plane coming at night, we saw those lights of Chicago and it was lit up over Midway. But you see those lights on the landing strip? They're all lit up. They're lending, that's number two, lend your light. You got to be able to lend your light. You got to lend it. Philippians, if we could turn over there in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2, verse number 15. Oh, I like this one. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We all can be a light. Each one of us have the ability to be a light. Have you ever let someone borrow something and you didn't get it back? You lent it out and it was gone, never to be seen again. My dad used to tell me, he said, you don't lend somebody anything unless you don't plan on losing it. He's right. If you don't want to lose it, just tell them no. It's not happening. But if they borrow something, well, with light, it works a little bit different. Works a little bit different. You see, as I told you before, that light has a circuit. It's a basic circuit system. An electrical circuit is an unbroken path along which an electric circuit exist and or is able to flow. A simple electrical circuit consists of a power source. Talked about that. Two conducting wires, one end of each being attached to each terminal of the cell, and a small lamp to which the free ends of the wire leading from the cell are attached. That's what we call a simple electrical circuit. That's what it is. That's or can be a source of light. I like to demonstrate it this way. Brother Todd, could I use you? I didn't ask you to do this, but if I could use you, if you could grab your Bible, sir, as well tonight. Brother Todd is like any one of us. Gets up, as I said, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And he's got to latch on to the light. He's got to hold on to his light. So Monday he goes to the book, grabs a hold of it, latches on to it. He completes his circuit, right? That's what happens. Puts the hands to it, completes the circuit. He's now got a hold of the light. He's lighting, if you will, the path for others in the Christian life. Because he's walking with God. He's fellowshipping with God. He's talking with God. He's leading his family with God. He's bringing the book before family devotions. He's leading in the area of completing his circuit. But you know it doesn't end there? It doesn't end there. Can I ask the boys to come up? Trevor and Trent and Trace, can you come on up here? Can you just stand at the sides of your dad real quick? You see, circuits don't just end there. There's another type of circuit. It's called a parallel circuit. In a parallel circuit, the voltage across each of the components is the same. The total current is the sum of the currents through each component. If two or more components are connected in parallel, they have the same potential difference, the same voltage across their ends. The potential differences across the components are the same in magnitude. I like this. And they also have identical polarities. The same voltage is applicable to all circuits, all components of the circuit connected in parallel. You see, if Brother Todd is connected like he's supposed to, and into the book like he's supposed to, and he's grabbing a hold of it, guess what these guys that see, guess what they get to see every day when they're around their dad? Now they can hold on, so grab a hold of your dad on one side, grab a hold of your dad, just one arm, that's good. One arm on one side. I didn't even have to hold him. I got to take him down the aisle or anything. But now we have a parallel circuit. Now our light has been lengthened. He lent his light for him. Now he's lent it to him. And guess what? These guys can then lend their light to somebody else. They can lend their light. Folks, that's how it is. We can't hide it. We can't keep it to ourselves. That isn't what a light's for. The light of the gospel is to give it out. To get it to somebody else that needs it. This circuit will also not be complete if he's not in the place where he's supposed to be. Guess who hurts?
Yes, sir.
Guess who hurts, parents? When we're not where we're supposed to be. Guess who hurts? It's the ones behind us. That's where it hurts. I'm tired of hearing about people my age and older that have left it all because they figure out the light's no longer needed. Yes, it is. It's the light I need. It's the light you need. And it's the light these guys need. They need that same light. They've got to have it. The next generation has got to have it. If I could throw it in there, church, the little ones need it. The little ones need it. It's not a point, but it'll alliterate. Amen, it'll work. They need it just as much. Thank you, guys. How's your light? Are you holding on to it? Are you willing to lend it out? Oh, I think of the story in the Bible about Samuel. I think of Samuel and what Hannah went through. Remember what she told the Lord? Do you remember what she said? I'm going to lend him. I'm going to lend him out. Hey, I prayed for him. You thought I was drunk, Eli. I wasn't drunk. That wasn't me in the house of the Lord. That wasn't me, but he was there for... He was there to be lent. And parents, that day that I promised those four kids over there, I just lent him. That's all I did. I'm just there. I'm just here to be the conduit for them. They belong to him. They're not mine. Oh, they may have my last name. But friend, they're God's. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It's from him. It's here, yes, but it's for God's use and God's glory. That's all it's for. What about your light tonight? Say, Brother Bragg, I'd like to lengthen my light. Okay. Why don't you get to the source of light? It's got to start there. Why don't you start lending out your light? Why don't you tell somebody else? Why don't you lend it by going soul winning? Why don't you get out on the times when we have soul winning efforts. Get out and go soul winning. Get out with somebody that they know. They've been going soul winning for a while. Go out with them. Say, I don't know what to say. They'll go with you. They'll help you along the way. Hey, your light is never going to get out until you start getting out and do something about it. You can't hold on to it. Keep it in my pocket. No, it's not going to work. It's got to, you got to get it out and shine it. You got to get it out and around. People got to know. Hey, does your neighbor know that you're a Christian? Do you go to church? Do they know where you're at on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? How's your light? Are you lending that light? Are you holding on to it? Well, that's too much, Brother Ray. I'm sorry, but my Bible tells me, let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They got to be able to see it. They have to be able to see it. It's got to be visible. I want to keep it. Hold it. No. We got to get it out. We got to get that light out and going. I got to find my other point. Here we go. Let me get to then number 3. Back to Matthew chapter 5. You're probably over there in Philippians. Matthew chapter 5 again. Latch a hold of it. Lend it. And then verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Just let it shine. Let it shine. Don't we sing that song when we were kids? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. No. It's not what we're supposed to do. Fill it up with Hollywood and what they have to offer? No. Read it in a good book? Oh, those are good? No. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to let it shine. We're supposed to let it shine. That means we have to get out. We have to give that voice. We're going to have to get out of, if you will, our comfort zone. And let the light shine. Let it shine. There's no way that folks are going to be able to see it. I won't have you turn there. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's only going to happen, friend, unless you go see Him. Unless you talk to Him. You know, there's somebody right now that is waiting for you to talk to. For you to hand a tract to. There's somebody waiting that only you can reach. I can't reach them. Somebody down the pew can't reach them, but you can. You see them at work. You pass them in the grocery store. You're right there next to them. The only hope they have is you. Because you're a light. So let it shine. Let your light shine. Let it shine. I don't know about you, but I'd like for my light to be lengthened. I'd like it to be a little bit brighter. I'd like to throw a little more wood on there so others can see it. I want my light to be lengthened. I'd like for it to be lengthened. But I can't do that while I'm hiding it. Can't do it while I'm intimidated. I can't do it because I'm a prosperity gospel kind of guy. I just want everybody else to know that I'm a Christian. Somehow they're going to run into me and I'm going to rub. No, sir. You're going to have to get out and confront people and say, hey, thus saith the Lord. That's what happens. That's how our lights begin to further. We then have one light that turns to another light that shines in another place that light shines. And then another person gets saved and that light shines. And then somebody else gets saved and that light shines. And bless the Lord, Miss Thomason, this morning, you shone your light at Walmart. That can happen too, folks, even at Walmart. And the young man heard, hey, about Faith Baptist Church and came this morning. Now his light can shine because her light shined. That's what we have to have, folks. We have to have that light that continues. It's not time to leave it. That's not time to leave it. It's not time to abandon it. Oh, those old things don't work anymore. I'm sorry, but it's in the book. He said it. Two by two. I mean, he said it. Get out there. The highways and hedges and compel them. Oh, we don't need to do that. Nor do we need to say, oh, I lost it. No. No, 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 no. It's time to glorify God, which is in heaven, with your light. And it's your light. Be excited about your light. I love the fact of the day I got saved. That's my light. Amen, Brother Larry, that's my light. February 26th of 2006, that was the day, boom, the light came on for me. When was it for you? When was the day you got saved? That's your light. That's your light now that others can see. You can tell others about it. Hold on to it. Latch on to it. Boy, come in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You'll latch on to it. You're not going to get it once a week. Sunday morning only. You got to get it every time. Every time the doors are open. Every time that opportunity comes up, oh, revival, I'm there. Every time we have an opportunity where the light's shining from this book and from the pastor that preaches from here, yeah, that's a light. Amen. We can grab a hold of it. It's, and it will light our pathway. I imagine most of you, and I'll finish with this, have never heard of two fellas named Roy Chambers and David Keller. Imagine across the room, see anybody that knows of these two fellas. All right. Well, about 3 years ago, my dad told this story to, I think it was at that time, Brian Maxwell's class, but I called him today and I asked my dad, I said, I'd like to tell a story that my dad tells sometimes and if it's all right. And so I said, can you fill me again in on the details? And he did, and we talked about it, and I wept about it just hearing the story again, just because it's an incredible story. The story starts off with a guy named David Keller. He was a Lutheran. And for whatever reason, he decided one day he was going to go visit a Baptist church. Well, a Lutheran, just like Catholics, I mean, they don't really bring a church or Bible to church. They don't bring a Bible in. So he walked into a Baptist church and saw all these Christians walking around with a Bible in their hand. Man, this is different. Never been in a church where everybody has the scriptures right there with them. Preacher got up there, up that day, and he's preaching and he's hollering. And Mr. Keller said, I honestly thought the guy was mad. Is he mad at everything? But he preached about the grace of God. And he went to the preacher after it was all over, and he said, you know what, I really want to know about this God that you're talking about. I'd really like to know. For whatever reason, the pastor, he told me, he said, well, Brother Keller, Mr. Keller, if you really want to know, then ask God to show you. He had talked to him. I apparently had talked to him about salvation. Just wasn't clicking. The light wasn't coming on, if you will. Just wasn't getting it. So the pastor told him, man, pray that God will show you. He said, okay. So we went home, and that was a Thursday night. Thursday night, midweek service. That's where he was at, this Baptist church. Mr. Keller was from Rolla, Missouri. And he went that Saturday. He had a package that he needed to send. So he went to the post office, and the post office that day was crowded, and he didn't really know what to do, so he decided to go across the street, which was in between the post office and the parking where he was at. There's a railroad set of railroad tracks. And that set of railroad tracks, as he parked his vehicle getting ready to cross the railroad tracks, a train comes down that way and crosses right by him, and it was going slow enough that the conductor of the train had grabbed something and threw it right at Mr. Keller's feet. I mean, it skidded and landed right at his feet. And he was in a hurry, and he grabbed a hold of it, and he picked it up, and he put it in his pocket, and he kept walking, and he went to the post office and did his business and came back across and got into his vehicle. And he said, I wonder what that guy threw at me. Wonder what that was. So he reached in his pocket and he pulled it out. And it was a pamphlet. And the pamphlet was entitled, Can God, from Oliver B. Green. Can God. And he read that pamphlet and he got saved that Saturday. Can God. Can God. He went back to the church, that Baptist preacher, and said, I know exactly what you're talking about now. The light shone for that man that day. Our story does not end. That's an incredible story in and of itself. Just the fact that somebody was sharing their light with somebody else. Well, let me fast forward 38 years later. Mr. Keller was diagnosed with cancer. And the treatment for cancer, the center that he had to go to was in St. Louis. And on the way there, he decided, you know what? The treatment is not till the afternoon. I'd like to go soul winning. So he stopped at Lafayette Bible Baptist Church, where my dad was the pastor at the time. He stopped at the church, and my dad, not very often on a Saturday, you get somebody from somewhere else that wants to go soul winning. But okay. So he took him out that day. He said, Mr. Keller, can you tell me what's going on? He said, well, I've been diagnosed with cancer. They haven't given me much time to live, but I'm coming here for my treatment for cancer. Dad said, well, could you tell me about how you got saved? He said, sure can. And he told him that very story. He said, Mr. Keller, do you have a few minutes? He said, sure, I've got some time before my appointment. I'd like to spend with you. He said, well, I'd like to call a lady that's in the church. Her name is Alberta Chambers. Her husband was Roy Chambers. He said, okay. So they go to Mrs. Chambers' house. Just telling the story. They go into her house and she's telling Mr. Keller that her husband was a conductor on a train engine. And every day, he would bind Can God from Oliver B. Green. And he'd throw out pamphlets every single day. She said, you know what? My husband, Roy, I think he still has all of his notes. Just a second. Let me go find them. Let me go see if I can find where he was that day. She went back, pulled out a logbook that he had. Sure enough, Rolla, Missouri, threw a pamphlet out to a gentleman crossing the tracks just before he was across the tracks. Don't know if I'll ever see him again, but I hope he reads it. That was Roy Chambers. He'd already passed. God had already taken him to heaven. But Miss Alberta had kept all that information. I'm just trying to say tonight, folks, somebody was letting their light shine. Amen. Letting that little light shine. Lord, lengthen my light. Amen. How about you tonight? I know I needed it. What about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your book. Thank you for the promises we can hold to. We can latch on to. Lord, we can lend to others that might need it. And Lord, we can shine in this dark, dark place. Help us to be a witness. Help us to be what we need to be as Christians. Help us to do more in the area of our Christian walk with you. May we be a light. May we shine that light for others so that they may see. Help us not to abandon it. Help us not to get rid of it. Find something different. It still works. Father, help each one of us. I don't know what the need is, Christian. What's yours tonight? But if we could stand to our feet as the instruments play, what do you need to do? Do you need to come back and say, you know what, I've left it. It's been a little while. I need to grab a hold of it again. I need to latch on. Well, I've thought about those coming behind me. I'd sure like to lend my light a little bit more. Maybe you'd like to be a witness. I think all of us could be there. A better witness for Him. Let your light shine. Lord, would you lengthen my light?